Thank you for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. More on this topic is available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes it possible. Thank you.
Thinking about just the modern worship movement, and I don't just mean the contemporary church world, but in contemporary circles, right, in current circles, what do you see as some issues among worship leaders and worshipers that you think needs correction?
I mean, I think that is one of my top ones is that we really are either incredibly stoic and intellectual, but it fails to sink into our hearts.
Yeah.
Or we're so emotional, but we aren't really thinking about anything. And God calls us to both.
Right.
You know what I mean? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And so we're holistic beings.
Yeah.
And to worship holistically with all that we are, it's just not something that is easy to do, because I have my flesh competing. I have my, you know, what happened in the car on the way to church that morning competing. I've got the guy missing the note on electric guitar or singing the flat note competing with total engagement. And so I think, number one, it's just a misunderstanding of what is actually happening in corporate worship. I think I was sort of awakened to that as the primary flaw when I was visiting a church and I was leading worship that morning, and someone said, "Man, thank you for being here. You know, I usually just, the worship so bad here that I just wait out in the lobby until it's done."
Sure. Yeah.
And it really broke my heart, because I could feel like it was like, that's got to break Jesus's heart.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The lack of understanding of what's actually happening when a family of God gathers together in the presence of God to sing the praises of God with all that they are. So
yeah.
I think the main corrective is that pastors begin to teach and lead by example in what that type of worship looks like, leading with awe, leading his people to the cross, leading with humility and patience, knowing that it's going to take a while probably to transition their church and shape that worshiping culture in their church, but also leading with excellence of song and, you know, worship leaders beginning to write songs that are deeply emotional and deeply intellectual, without alienating either side, you know, writing songs that engage the head and the heart.
So you said, you know, we've got to, as pastors, teaching and modeling worship well, which I think would suggest that we've misunderstood the nature of worship to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
In what way or what ways have we misunderstood the nature of worship in the first place that sort of has led us down these paths then?
Well, I think I grew up kind of hearing that worship was the warm-up.
Yes, exactly.
It's like sort of the preliminaries to the main event, you know what I mean? And so I feel like pastors sort of think that way.
Right.
Like, you've got to get people's heart ready to hear the word. And I think that the main misconception there is that they are hearing the word.
Right.
They're singing the word.
Right.
They're memorizing the word whenever they're singing, you know, songs that are based from scripture. And you know, that's the point. That's why pastors from bygone eras and all the men who wrote the hymns that shaped our faith were writing them. Because it's portable theology, right? It's it's the ability to take and learn and teach and take that with you. And I may not remember what you preached on necessarily, but I can walk away singing theology. And so there is that sense of, you know, a misunderstanding of what the worship is supposed to be. It's not an entertainment act getting ready for the main event.
And you don't just walk away from church singing it. You're singing it all week long.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and now some of us are singing 150 years down the road, we're still singing that theology over and over. And of course, to be able to, you said, you know, you're not just singing to get to the word, you're singing the word prior to hearing the word preached. That's assuming, of course, that we're singing rooted, theologically rich, you know, music. So, having said that, we're going to have to go to a break here in just a second, but just quickly, sort of in a short little statement, how would you coach a young worship pastor then to think about worshiping well and leading worship well?
Yeah, I think I have a few filters that I use personally and I coach guys to use as well. Is it singable, number one?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do any good if it's just this meandering melody that no one will ever remember,
right,
or no one can participate with in the moment.
Sure.
And I think that's part of why we're the church, you know, at large, you see sort of moving away from corporate singing is because half the songs they're trying to sing, they just can't.
Yeah,
so starting there, is it helpful in that? Is it clear in what it's saying, or is it just this vague sort of, you know, Jesus is my girlfriend, or, you know, yeah, whatever, exactly, kind of stuff?
Sure.
Is it clear and helpful? The third thing is it true, you know?
Right.
And when I say, is it true according to Scripture? How
right.
God has revealed himself to be, who he is, what's his character, what has he done, who are we in light of that? And if it doesn't meet those three criteria, then yeah, don't sing it, ever.
Thanks for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. Your support makes this podcast possible. More information is available at myfaithradio.com.